طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, this is our seventh session reading from Ashur al-Qawaid في تزكية النفس, 10 Principles Concerning Purification of the Soul by Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, حفظهم الله, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to be taking the sixth principle. But before we do that, we just want to review quickly some of the points that we covered last week as a review for those of you who were here. And if anybody may be coming for the first time or were not here last week, then inshallah, hopefully you'll benefit from this quick review of some of the points that we talked about last week. Okay, first question from question and study guide number six. Briefly outline the four qawaid. Yani the first four qawaid, in order, the first four qawaid related to purification of the soul. Number one, Umar. Number one. One, yaksi. The first principle is that what? Somebody in English? Yani at-tawheed, aslu, foundation. Through which souls are purified. Tawheed is the foundation through which souls are purified. Qaida Thaniya. Athaniya. Ya Fadl. Mustafa.
Supplication is the key to purification of the soul.
Supplication is the key to purification of the soul. Yani dua miftah. Dua is the miftah of purification, yani of the souls. Number three. Muhammad? The Quran. Is the source of purification of the soul. Quran is the source. Al Quran al Kareem, manba' al taskiyah. Naam. Wa ma'inuha. Wa ma'inuha. Number four. Number four. Abdul Haq. Ittikhadu al uswa wal qudwa. Sorry, in English? Number four is what? Musa?
Choosing an example, a good role.
Choosing the example or the role model of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam, taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your example, as your role model. Number five. Oh, that's the first four, right? Okay. Question number two. Mention al qaida al khamisa, the fifth principle related to purification of the soul in Arabic. Three words, Waleed. Three words. Naam, al tazkiyatu. تخلية وتحلية تخلية وخاء and تحلية وحاء. نعم. Meaning in English. نعم.
Purification is removal of what is bad.
Purification is removal of what is bad
and replacing,
adorning itself with
what is good.
نعم. Question number three. Discuss the fifth principle, the one that we just mentioned. Outlining its two essential elements. And the relationship between these two elements. And the relationship between them. Abdul Haq. طيب, فضل.
طيب, التخلية, يعني the removal of the, كما قال الشيخ الرزائي, lowly actions and false beliefs and ma'asi, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the تحلية is the adorning oneself of, with correct beliefs and righteous actions.
Okay, so the two elements are التخلية and التحلية. التخلية, removal of that which is evil, bad characteristics and so on, qualities, removing that first, and then التحلية, replacing it, adorning oneself with the good qualities and good actions and good deeds, and the relationship between them is that, يعني, the relationship between them is that, Musa? That the evil should be removed first.
Yeah.
The takhliya comes first. And then after that comes the tahliya, the adornment with that which is good. So this is yani a clear indication to us that we have to first work on removing the bad qualities before we're talking about doing some good deeds. Without removing, yani a person came into Islam and they want to learn how to pray and fast and all of that's good, but they still using intoxicants, committing fornication, and doing all kinds of other corruption and evil. Now, Question number four. Memorize the ayah, surah, the ninth surah, 103rd ayah, which alludes to the fifth principle, and show how it points to both takhliya and tahliya. Yani first the ayah, memorize. Who didn't answer yet? Somebody who didn't answer yet. Ayat. So, yeah, Abdullah. Naam. Meaning of it. Ayat. Naam. Ibrahim. Take from their wealth. Take from their wealth. Sadaqatan. Sadaqa. And take sadaqa from their wealth. Naam. Okay. Purify them.
Cleanse them
from the sins. طيب تزكيهم, increase them in خير, نعم, بركة, زيادة الخير, نعم, يعني and make dua for them, نعم. طيب, question number, يعني part of the question number four is show how it points to both takhliya and tahliya. Where do we see the takhliya and tahliya in this ayah? Naam. Waleed. Tutahhiruhum, purify them. That's the takhliya. Yani to, yani tutahhiruhum, yani remove from them their sinful behavior and sinful acts.
And then watuzakkihum.
Watuzakkihum is the?
That's the tahliya.
Adorn them
the good deeds and the good actions
with that which is good. Deeds and actions, belief and so on. Now, Jazakallah khair. Question number six. Memorize the ayat, 29th surah. I'm sorry, am I skipping? Memorize the hadith. Number five. Memorize the hadith which shows the effect of sins upon the heart. As mentioned, yani the effect of sins upon the heart as mentioned in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, 83rd surah and 14th ayat. Memorize the hadith. Yani which alludes or which mentions this particular ayah from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, the hadith. Now, fadl, the haq. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Innal abda idha akhta'a khati'atan nuqtat fi qalbihi nuqtatun sawda'u fa idha huwa naz'a wa astaghfara wa taba سُقِلَتْ قَلْبُهُ سُقِلَتْ قَلْبُهُ وَإِنْ عَادَ زِيدَ فِيهَا حَتَّى تَعْلُوَ قَلْبَهُ وَهُوَ الرَّانُ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي
الَّذِي ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ
فِي بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا
يَقْسِمُونَ كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا يَقْسِمُونَ. نعم, أحسن, ما شاء الله. Meaning of this hadith, يعني إن العبد إذا أخطأ خطية. What's the meaning? You know?
Whenever the servant does a sin.
A sin. Whenever the servant, the abd, commits a sin, naam, nukitat. Fi kalbihi nuktatun sawda.
Black dot will be.
A black dot will be placed, will appear upon his heart. Naam.
And whenever he leaves the sin.
But if he leaves this.
And asks for forgiveness.
And asks for forgiveness.
And repents.
And repents. Suqila qalbu.
His heart will be. Clean?
His heart will be clean. Yeah, and it will be literally polished, clean. Naam. Ayyua, wa in ada.
And if he return back to the scene, his heart will be
zida. Yani it will be increased again. Yani the black spots will be increased. Hatta ta'aluwa qalbahu.
Until his heart is.
Until it overcomes. Until it covers completely his heart. Till it becomes completely black with these black spots from the sins. And this is the rana that Allah mentions in the Quran when He said,
indeed,
it is, rather it is, yani the covering, of their hearts, yani the covering with sins and evil deeds that they earned, yani that they used to, yani from the actions that they used to do. Now, طيب, memorize, question number six, memorize the ayah, 29th surah, 69th ayah, where Allah mentions those who strive hard in His cause and those who do good deeds. Yani those who do good, yani muhsineen. Memorize the ayah. Who memorized the ayah? Naam, Ibrahim.
Qala Allah تعالى والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا وإن الله لمع المحسنين.
نعم. Somebody else, the meaning of this ayah, والذين جاهدوا فينا. What is the meaning? والذين جاهدوا فينا. نعم. Those people who strive فينا, يعني in our way, in the cause of Allah, in the way of Allah, لنهدينهم سبلنا. We will guide them in our ways, yani the ways that lead to Allah, to the pleasure of Allah.
Allah is with the, those who do good.
And indeed Allah is with the, those who do good, the muhsineen, yani the people of ihsan. Indeed Allah is with the people of ihsan. Question number 7, discuss the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, wherein he mentions the necessity of combining between takhliya and tahliya. Now, statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Who remembers this statement? In general, completely, generally, yani vaguely, a little bit. Naam, fadhil.
فَالْزَكَاةُ قَالَ شَيْكُ إِبْنَ تَيْمِيَةَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ فَالْزَكَاةُ تَسْكِيَةُ إِنْ كَانَ أَصْلُهَا النَّمَاءُ وَالْبَرَكَةُ وَالزِّيَادَةُ
الْخَيْرُ
فإنما تحصل بإزالة الشر.
أها. ولهذا.
فلهذا
صار.
صار
التزكي.
التزكي يجمع هذا
وهذا. يجمع هذا وهذا. يعني هذا وهذا. يعني the meaning Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah is saying that even if the asl, the origin, yani the core meaning of a tazkiyah, that it is, yani what?
Annama,
yani growth. Growth. Wal barakah, yani kathratul khair, a lot of good. And ziyadatul khair, an increase in good. That's the original meaning of a tazkiyah. However, he said, but verily it is achieved, it's actually accomplished first by izalat ash-shar, removing evil. It's achieved first by removing evil. And for this reason, التزكي, yani the process of purification, يجمعو هذا وهذا. It combines this and this. That is, this and this meaning? Okay, التخلية وتحلية. يعني إزالة الشر واستكثار من الصالحات. The last question, discuss the tafsir of Imam Sa'di rahimahullah for ayat, the fourth surah, 49th ayat, the meaning of which is rather Allah sanctifies whomever He wills. Balillahu yuzakki man yasha. What is the tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman Sa'di concerning this particular ayat? Musa.
Qawla Ibn Sa'di rahimahullah, inna qawlillahi balillahu yuzakki man yasha.
كيف يزكي من يشاء
بالإيمان
إيماني
والعمل
الصالح
بالإيمان والعمل الصالح بالتخلي عن الأخلاق الرذائل
الرذيلة الأخلاق الرذيلة يعني الجم غير العاقل يعني مفرد المؤنث
تحلي بالصفات
الجميلة. يعني شيخ عبد الرحمن السعدي, he said that the meaning of this ayat, that rather Allah is the one who purifies whomever He wills, the meaning of it is purifies them بالإيمان والعمل الصالح, by iman and good deeds, by iman and righteous deeds. And there is no purification process without iman in Allah and that which is required, يعني according to the Sharia, according to the, what Allah has revealed, iman and amal الصالح. Not just good deeds. Mother Teresa, I don't know whoever that lady is, they said she was so good, yani doing some good deeds, Allahu A'lam, whatever she did, but with no iman. There's no purification without iman and righteous deeds. That is, bitakhalli, yani removing the yani evil characteristics, the lowly, vile characteristics, wa tahalli bisifat al-jamila, and then adorning oneself with beautiful characteristics, praiseworthy characteristics, yani of Islam and the Sunnah. These are some of the points that we talked about last week. MashaAllah. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to go to the next principle. Uh, And somebody tell me, what page are we on in the English book? 26. Page 26 in English. In Arabic, page 25. Okay, so the Shaykh, Hafidhu Allah, may Allah protect and preserve him. He says, Al-Qa'idatu As-Sadisatu. Al-Qa'idatu As-Sadisatu. The sixth principle. Ighlaqu Al-Manafidhi. Yani Ighlaq means what? From Aghlaqa Yughliqu?
Closing.
Closing. Yani from closing, Ighlaq means closing. Yani shutting down. Huh? Al-Manafidh. Yani the openings, the doorways, the passageways. Al-Manafidh. Allati Takhruju Bil-Insani An At-Tazkiyah. Closing the passageways, the paths, the doorways, the openings that take the human being outside of purification, that remove you from the process of purification. Closing those ways. Yani actively shutting down the things that lead you to, yani, or that take you out of the purification process. Okay, it's not just a matter of abstaining from some things. Rather, we have to close the passageways. Because if you don't close the passageways, you might enter. You might enter. Closing the openings, the paths, the passageways, which take the person away from purification, take you outside of the purification process. وَتُبَعِدُهُ عَنَ الْفَضِيلَةِ وَتُوقِعُهُ فِي الرَّذِيلَةِ. Yani that distance him from al-fadila, yani from virtuous actions, from virtue. Yani distance, take the person far removed from virtue. The things that lead you to that, you have to close those passageways. Once you recognize it, you have to, and you get away from it, because it will take you away from virtuous behavior and actions. وَتُوقِعُ فِي الرَّذِيلَةِ. Yani, and cause the person to fall into evil, vile, lowly behavior. Yani, closing the doorways, the passageways that take you out of the process of purification, that distance you from virtuous actions, and cause you to fall into evil behavior. Closing the doorways. فَيَحْتَاجُ الْعَبْدُ حَاجَةً مَاسَةً إِلَىٰ إِغْلَاقِ الْمَنَافِذْ أَلَّتِي تُدَنِّسُ نَفْسَهُ وَتُدَسِّيهَا. So, the abd, we mean by the abd here, we mean the human being who wants to worship Allah. Yani, because abd originally, yani, is the one who, yani, worships, right? The abd. Or we can say slave, servant, whatever, but here we mean the one who wants to worship Allah, al-abd, al-ibadah. The abd is in dire need, haja, masa, dire need, critical need, of closing the passageways which pollute his nafs and corrupt his nafs, which pollute and corrupt your soul. وَقَدْ ضُرِبَ لَنَا فِي السُّنَّةِ مَثَلٌ يُبَيِّنُ خُطُورَةً وُلُوجٍ. Yani wuluj means?
Entry.
نعم, دخول. Yani walaja means dakhala, al-wuluj. Yani the human being, yani the example has been made for us. Yani the parable has been made for us in the sunnah. The parable, a parable, mathalun, yubayyin khutura, the danger of entering, of the abd entering, fi ma yudayyu alayhi dinahu. Yani the danger of the person going into, entering the doorways, the passageways, which cause one to waste, to neglect, to lose their deen. And if a person knows that entering into this passageway, into this doorway, going down this road, is going to cause you to neglect your deen. Yani, if you get this job, for example, you're not going to be able to pray on time anymore. You're going to be praying when you get home at night. That's a problem. That's a problem. If you marry this person, they're going to prevent you. They're not going to want you to be fasting and reading Quran and doing virtue. They're going to want you to just, let's hang out and have fun and go do stuff. This is going to cause you to lose your deen. Person has to be thinking, whatever you're getting ready to get into, how is this going to affect my deen? Because that's the most important thing. Not how much money you're going to make, how beautiful she is, or how handsome he is, or whatever. That's not what's important. What's important is this going to help me to worship Allah? Is this person, this job, this school, this whatever, going to help me to be worship Allah? Or it's going to distance me from virtue and cause me to fall into ill behavior? That's what we need to be concerned about. Especially young people making decisions that's going to affect the rest of your life. You have to be thinking, how is this going to affect me? And be careful. Your deen is the most important thing. This is our priority. That's what it's all about. Nothing else is important when it comes to your deen. Everything else takes a back seat. قَدْ ضُرِبَ لَنَا فِي السُّنَّةِ مَثَلٌ يعني a parable which makes clear to us the danger of the abd entering into that which will cause him to neglect or her to neglect one's deen. ففي الحديث قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, it came in a hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the hadith reported by Imam Ahmed and Al-Bayhaqi and Shu'b al-Iman and others, يعني Al-Tirmidhi also يعني mentioned a similar narration, wording is a little bit different, which he said was Hassan, and Al-Hakim also narrated the hadith and said that it's sahih on the conditions of Muslim. This is the narration of Imam Ahmed. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم narrated in a hadith. Let me just go back a little bit. Okay. The hadith as I found it in the Musnad Imam Ahmed. The wording for this hadith came with slightly different wordings from here and there. In any case, as it came in the Musnad, the hadith of Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ضرب الله مثلا صراطا مستقيما. ضرب الله مثلا صراطا مستقيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the parable of a straight path. صراطا مستقيما. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ضرب الله مثلا. That means that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is narrating from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave this parable. A straight path. وعلى جنبتي الصراط سوران. على جنبتي. يعني the voweling here in Arabic is a little bit off, mixed up a little bit. جنبتي. يعني جنب. جنبتي. وعلى جنبتي الصراط سوران. And on the two sides of the صراط, this path, are two walls. يعني a wall on each side of the path. يعني a wall does what? It prevents a person from going this way or that way. If there's a wall on both sides, you have to stay on the straight path. You can't get off it. Because there's a wall there stopping you, right? A barrier. فِيهِمَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ فِيهِمَا يعني in the two walls, there are أَبْوَاب مُفَتَّحَةٌ يعني doors which are open. Open doors. The doors are open. So now the wall, you can't get over the wall, right? Can't get under the wall. If you want to get into America, you just get in a plane and fly and come in the airport. But this wall is a wall that you can't get through, except that the wall has doors which are already open. أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ وَعَلَى الْأَبْوَابِ سُطُورٌ مُرْخَاتٌ سُطُورٌ مُرْخَاتٌ. And on the doors, over the doors, there are curtains which are hanging down. Murkhatun. Curtains which are hanging down. Yani covering the door. The door is open, but there's a curtain there. That's not going to stop anybody, right? A curtain? There has to be something else to stop you. وَعَلَى بَابَ الصِّرَاطِ دَاعٍ عَلَى بَابَ الصِّرَاطِ دَاعٍ يَقُولُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُدْخُلُوا الصِّرَاطِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تعوجوا. Or as it came in our book, وَلَا تَتَعَرَّجُوا. Meaning is the same. يعني, that there's at the door of the road, the sirat, the path, a da'in. يعني, a caller who is saying, O people, enter the sirat, jamian, all of you. And do not, لَا تَتَعَرَّجُوا. Do not swerve. Do not deviate. يعني stay straight on the path. نعم. وداعٍ يدعو من جوف الصراط. من جوف الصراط how came يعني and then in the other narration came من فوق الصراط. يعني من جوف أو من فوق الصراط. And another caller, second one, يعني من جوف أو من فوق. يعني within the road or above the road, another داعي who يعني فإذا أراد يفتح شيئا من تلك الأبواب قال. The second داعي, if a person who is on the road wants to open anything of those doors, any one of those doors, the second داعي يعني فوق الصراط أو جوف الصراط says, ويحك لا تفتح فإنك إن تفتح تلجه. تلج يعني ولج يلج, يلج يعني تلج, meaning what? To enter, to enter, that's the meaning. يعني تلجه means he will enter. فإذا أراد يفتح شيئا من تلك الأبواب, so if the person on the road, on the straight path, يعني sees a doorway to get through the wall, and the door is open, just has a curtain. If they want to open one of those ways, the da'i says, ويحك, woe to you. لا تفتح, do not, لا ناهية, لا تفتح, do not open it. Don't open that door. فإنك إن تفتح تلج. Because indeed, if you open it, you will enter. If you open it, you will enter. يعني you see the way is leading to something of evil. You know that the man or the woman with the person of the opposite gender, and there's nobody around, and they're just saying, just come help me do this. You know that if you enter into that path, you're going to, I mean, once you open the door, you're going in. Don't open that door, because if you open, you're going in. You get it? I mean, this is just an example that's easy to understand. Otherwise, there's thousands of examples of things that we see it, and we're told, don't open it. Don't go that way, because if you open it, you're going in. Once you open that door, you're in there. It's over. Don't go near. Huh? لا تقربوا الزنا. Don't go near it. Because if you go near it, you're subject to fall into it. And there are too many examples in the Quran and in the Sunnah. A doorway. The doorways. يعني if a person wanted to enter it, ويحك, woe to you, do not open it, for indeed if you open it, you will enter. The Prophet ﷺ said, the second part of this hadith, he explains the meanings. وَالصِّرَاتُ الْإِسْلَامِ وَالسُّورَانِ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَالْأَبْوَابُ الْمُفَتَّحَةُ مَحَارِمُ اللَّهِ وَذَلِكَ دَاعِي عَلَى رَأْسِ الصِّرَاتِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَالدَّاعِي مِنْ فَوْقِ وَائِذُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ Muslim. Yani the sirat in this parable, it is Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a parable for us of a sirat al-mustaqim, a straight path. What is the straight path? Islam. This is an example, a parable that represents the straight path is Islam. Wasurani, yani the two walls that are on both sides of the straight path are the hududullah. Yani the hudud in the sharia has many meanings. Yani somebody they said, what's the had for zina? Means what's the punishment? That's one meaning of hudud. Another meaning of hudud is that which Allah has allowed, don't go beyond that. Don't go beyond that which Allah has allowed. Another meaning of hudud is that the thing that's prohibited itself is also called hudud. Here, the meaning here is what? Wasuran hududullah. The two walls are the limits that Allah has set that you can't go beyond. If you stay on this path, don't go on either side of these walls. Stay straight on the path, don't go this way or that way. Because this, Allah has set the had, the limit right here. This is it. You can't go outside of this. Otherwise, you're in trouble. It's the hudud of Allah, the limits of Allah. والأبواب المفتحة محارم الله. And the open doors are the things that Allah has prohibited. محارم الله. The open doors are the things that Allah has prohibited. Yani when you open that door, you're going into that which Allah has prohibited. That's why one of the da'i is saying what? Don't, wayhaq, la taftah, don't open that door. Allah has prohibited that. To go in that doorway, it is prohibited. وَذَلِكَ الدَّاعِي عَلَى رَأْسِ الصِّرَاتِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the da'i, the caller, that's at the رَأْسِ الصِّرَاتِ, yani باب الصِّرَاتِ, at the entrance to the road, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The book of Allah, which contains the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commands, prohibitions, clarifications, guidance, wisdom, encouragement, and so on. All of that is contained in the book of Allah. So the book of Allah is calling people to enter into Islam, the straight path. And it's giving you all the instructions and whatever you need to to travel along this path. But that's not sufficient. There's the Book of Allah, and then there's another da'iyah. ذَلِكَ دَاعِيَ عَلَى رَأْسِ الصِّرَاطِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَالدَّاعِي مِنْ فَوْقِ. And the other da'iyah that's above the road is وَاعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ مُسْلِمْ كُلِّ مُسْلِمْ. Yani is the wa'idh, the admonisher of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that's admonishing the people about what Allah has commanded and prohibited, in the heart of every Muslim. Yani something in the heart of the Muslim. So there are two callers. Yani the Book of Allah, and then there's something in the heart of the Muslim as well. There's the Book of Allah that is calling you, yani to stay straight on the path. Get on this path and stay straight on it. Don't go crooked. Don't swerve from side to side. Huh? And then if you try to open up any of those doors, there's a caller inside of you telling you, don't open that door. How many times, even young people, you don't have to be old, how many times did you think about doing something and something inside is telling you, don't do that. Don't do that. And sometimes we don't listen. This is our salvation. Yani the two things that cause us to go astray is our nafs and our hawa. Our nafs, yani nafs al-amar bisu. The nafs, the part of the nafs that causes you to do evil. And the hawa, your desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given two callers, the Book of Allah and something in the heart of the believer to resist both of them. It's upon us to answer the call. I'm going to just make a couple of comments here, yani for the benefit. Yani when I read this hadith, and the Shaykh, he, at the end of this hadith, he quotes from Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab, Al-Hanbali, rahimahullah, from his book, Majmu' Rasail of Ibn Rajab, which is very important. Very important, beneficial, yani collection of writings of Ibn Rajab. The quote that he brings us here is near the end of what he said concerning this hadith. Yani his discussion concerning this hadith, very lengthy. Yani maybe it was, I don't remember now, 10 or 15 pages. But the Shaykh quotes one paragraph here, and there was something in it that wasn't clear to me. So I wanted to go back and just read it from the original text and see if it became clear. But when I went back to the original text, it created a problem, because once I started reading it, like it, I couldn't stop. So last night, I couldn't finish preparation for the class because I was just reading this. So I stayed up very late just reading this. And every time I kept reading it over and over, I was saying to myself, SubhanAllah, is it possible to read this to the class tomorrow? It's not possible. So what I decided to do was just read a couple of points from it, okay? So Ibn Rajab, he says in the explanation of this hadith that the Shaykh is quoting from here in the book, one paragraph. But he says, and before that quote, he says that the Prophet ﷺ has made a parable for us in this tremendous hadith, which he has related to us from his Rabb, Azza wa Jalla. An example, مثل الإسلام هو مثل الإسلام بالصراط المستقيم. He made the example of the parable of Islam as a straight path. وَقَدْ سَمَّ اللَّهِ دِينَهُ الَّذِي هُوَ دِينُ الْإِسْلَامِ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمًا فِي مُوَادِي كَثِيرًا مِنْ كِتَابِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named his deen, yani, which is the deen of Islam, he has named it a straight path in many places in his book. And then he mentions a lot of places. I'm not going to read all those places, but any from amongst that which we know that's clear to us, he named it in the first chapter of the Quran, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And he named it in other places also. Yani, lots of places the Shaykh mentions, Surah Al-Ma'idah 15 and 16, Surah Al-An'am 153, and so on, different places. He mentions, yani, Surah Al-Mustaqima. In one of the ayahs that he mentions, yani, Surah Al-An'am, ayah 153, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمًا. This is my, indeed, this is my straight path. So follow it and do not follow the other ways, for they will cause you to separate from his way, from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith reported by Al-Imam Ahmad and Nasa'i and others, and Hakim, hadith of Abdul Mas'ud, He said, خط يعني أبو المسعود said رضي الله عنه خط رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خطا بيده ثم قال هذا سبيل الله مستقيمة. يعني he drew a line with his hand and then he said this is the way of Allah, the path of Allah, the straight way. And then he drew other lines to the right and to the left and he said هذه السبل ليس منها سبيل إلا عليه شيطان يدعو إليه. And these are the other ways. يعني the lines to the right and to the left. These are the other ways. يعني wall on the right and wall on the left. You go off that path, through those walls, you go into the other ways. He said, these ways, there's not one of them, except that there's a shaitan upon it, calling people to it. And then he read this ayat, وَأَنَّ هَذَا الصَّرَاطِ مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. And he mentions this, and then he mentions some other hadith similar to this, and then he says, and this is the point that I want to, and one of the main points that I want to make from this reading, in brief, inshallah, he says, indeed, the sirat, the word sirat, sirat al-mustaqim. He said this word sirat is given this word because it is tariqun wasi'un sahlun yusil ila al-maqsood. Yani why does Allah call his deen a sirat? Because sirat, it is a road that is wasi'a, vast, spacious, wide, sahl, and it's easy to travel upon it. And it leads you to your destination. Why Allah used this word sirat? Because a sirat is a wide road that's easy to travel upon and it takes you to your destination. So Allah calls His deen sirat, sirat mustaqim. And this is the example of the deen of Islam amongst the other adyan. Yani that Islam is called sirat mustaqim. This is the example that Allah used to distinguish it from the other religions. فَإِنَّهُ يُوصِلْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Because this sirat, it leads to Allah. إِلَى دَارِهِ, to yani the place that He has prepared. وَجِوَارِهِ, and to be in His presence. مَا سُهُولَتِهِ وَسَعَتِهِ. Even though it is easy, and it is wide, it's spacious, easy to travel upon. As far as the other turuq, the other deens, even though they are many, all of them are yani tight, and they are difficult to travel, and none of them lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they cut you off from that which leads yani to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They lead you rather to His displeasure and His anger and yani to being with His enemies. And then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 85th Ayah, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَيُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ. Whoever desires other than Islam as a deen, it will never be accepted from him by Allah. It will never be accepted any other way. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And in the hereafter, he will be of the losers. And then he mentioned other ayats, and he mentioned some other points. Next point I want to make, and this is about sirat. The second point that Ibn Rajab makes after many pages, he says, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, وَعَلَى جَنْبَتَيَ السِّرَاطِ سُورَانْ ثُمَّ فَسَرَهُمَا بِهُدُودِ اللَّهِ. And that he said, on both sides of the sirat are two walls, and then he explained that these two walls mean the hudud of Allah, the boundaries of Allah. And what is intended is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set boundaries, and He had prohibited anybody to transgress them. So whoever transgressed them, فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ, then he has wronged his own self. Allah set boundaries, prohibited people to cross them. Whoever crossed them, you have wronged yourself. وَخَرَجَ عَنَ السِّرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, and you have gone outside of the straight path, the one which Allah أَمَرَ بِثُبُوتِ عَلَيْهِ, that He commanded us to stay upon this path. And since a wall prohibits a person from going beyond it, transgressing it, then the hudud of Allah have here been named as a wall, because it prevents you from going beyond the bounds that Allah has set. It prevents a person from entering into that which yani Allah has prohibited you to enter into. And then he mentioned a lot of ayats about the hudud of Allah. Tilka hudud Allah fala ta'taduha. Don't go beyond them. Surah Al-Baqarah 229. And he mentioned other ayats. A lot of them, Surah An-Nisa 13 and 14. Surah Al-Baqarah and so on. And then yani the Sheikh made a lot of other points. And he talked about hudud a lot. And just for the sake of time, I'm going to the next point. The next point, and he says, وَقَوْلُهُ فِيهِمَا يَعْنِي السُّورَيْنِ أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ وَعَلَى الْأَبْوَابِ سُطُورٌ مُرْخَاتٌ. Yani the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, in the two of them, meaning in the two walls, they are open doors, and upon those doors are curtains which are hanging down. And then he explained that the open doors mean that they are the things which Allah has prohibited. And since the hudud of Allah, yani he made a resemblance of the hudud of Allah by the yani parable of the walls, yani that are on both sides of the sirat, right side and the left side. And walls, yani, mean that something you're prevented from something. And this is the original meaning of had in the language, al-man, that it prevents you from something. So Allah, He gave the comparison of His prohibited things. He gave the prohibit of this, yani, the walls are the hudud of Allah. And then He made the example of the maharam, the things that Allah has prohibited, as open doors in the walls. The walls that are the had, yani the boundaries that Allah has set, He made open doors in them. And He said, يعني جعل الأبواب متفتحة غير مغلقة ولا مقفلة. These doors are not closed and they are not locked. They are open doors. Why did Allah make the parable of open doors? He made the parable of open doors because this is like, He said, just with curtains hanging over them, so that it's easy for every person who wants to raise up that curtain and to enter those doors, if he desires to do so. Allah said, these are the things that He prohibited. He made it an open door, just with a curtain. So there's something, right? Telling you, don't go in there, there's a curtain here. But if you just saying, the door is open later, but I'm going in anyway, that's on you. وَهَكَذَا الشَّهَوَاتِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ. He said, this is the likeness of the prohibited things that we desire. الشَّهَوَاتِ الْمُحَرَّمَةِ. يعني the only thing stopping you from it is a little curtain. The door is open. If you want to go in there, and you know that it's haram, indeed the nafs, yani, is desirous of going behind the curtain, and it's desirous of, yani, entering into that which it has the ability to enter to, and the only thing that prevents you from entering is iman. The only thing that prevents you from entering is that a person has iman. And then the Shaykh, he mentions another hadith. I wish that I could talk about this hadith. حُفَّتْ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ وَحُفَّتَ النَّارِ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. And some of the narrations said, حُفَّتْ said, حُجِبَتْ. Yani that the paradise has been covered or surrounded or screened, according to the two narrations, بِالْمَكَارِ, with things that you dislike, which are difficult. And the hellfire has been surrounded or screened with شَهَوَاتِ, the things, your desires. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Jannah, the screen that separates you from it is makari, things that you don't like to do. Getting up in the morning for Fajr, fasting in Ramadan, stuff that's difficult. You have to do those things that are difficult in order to get into Jannah. But the hellfire, it's only covered or surrounded by yani desirous things that you like to do. If you do them, you will be into the hellfire. He mentioned this hadith, he talked about it a little bit, but for the sake of time. The next point that I want to mention is where the Shaykh, he came to the quote that the Shaykh mentions in the book. And this is near the end of what Ibn Rajab says concerning this particular matter. He said, so whoever... before that, I want to make one more point. It's not from Ibn Rajab, but it's from the explanation. Sharh Mushkil Al-Athar. Yani a book of hadith that explains things that are difficult in hadith. In that book, he mentions this hadith, the same hadith that we have under discussion. He said, we reflected upon this hadith and we found in it, everything in it is makshuf al-ma'na. Makshuf al-ma'na. Everything in it is meaning is clear, it's uncovered. Prophet explained, this is that and this is the other, and this is what it means. غير ما فيه من وعظ الله في قلب كل مسلم. Except that which it mentions about the wa'iz, the admonisher of Allah that's in the heart of every Muslim. We had to stop to think and figure out what is the reality, what does this mean? So we looked and we found that the wa'iz, the admonisher that's from amongst the human beings in this world, there's people, right, who warn you against doing evil. He said the admonisher amongst the human beings is the one who prohibits you from falling into what Allah has prohibited upon you. They said don't steal, don't lie, don't drink alcohol, don't commit zina. And the khutbah every Jummah we hear, right? Maybe in the masjid, in a class, or in a lecture or something. Somebody warning us, don't do this, that, and the other. That's how it is amongst the human beings. He said, we realize that's the wa'iz that's amongst the human beings. So then we understood from that that the likeness of this is in the heart of a Muslim. There's something in the heart of the Muslim that's like the Imam, the Khatib on Yawm al-Jumu'ah, who's warning us against doing evil. In the heart of the human being, there's something like that. He said, it is the Hujjatullah, yani the proofs that Allah has given to us. The Hujjaj, that are proofs that make it clear to us this we must be doing, this we must not do. Proofs, clear, decisive, conclusive proofs. Which yani prevent us from entering into that which Allah has prohibited us from and warned us against it. And he said, it is also in the heart of the human being, al-basair, yani insight, which yani is in, that Allah has given to the human being to be able to see things and understand what is happening with them. Wal-ulum, and also the knowledge that Allah has placed in the human being, also all of this is the wa'id that's in the heart of every Muslim. So it prevents him and warns him and discourages him from doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And then after that, he mentioned something interesting which we're going to come to inshallah. He mentioned the sirat on Yawm al-Qiyamah. That there's sirat, right? Huh? Remember sirat? Sirat is what? Yani over the bridge that's over the hellfire. And the Prophet said that people, everybody has to cross over that to get into paradise. And some people are going to go fast like lightning and like a fast horse and running and crawling and so on, right? All different speeds according to what? In this world. How you was doing in this world. And whoever was staying on the straight path in this world will be easy for them on that sirat. Whoever's on a sirat in this world, that sirat is going to be easy for them. Who was not on the sirat in this world, they're going to have a hard time. Some people, they're going to fall off into the hellfire. Some people are going to get clawed by the yani the claws, that yani the hooks that's on the sides of the sirat. Even though they get some wounds, but they still made it across. Allahu musta'an. And then the Shaykh, he said that in reference to this, so this passing by the permission of Allah, ala sirat, will be for some people a noble passing. Yani those who go like lightning and those who go fast. Yani according to one's istiqamah in this world. Wal jazaa min jins al amal. And the reward will be in accordance with the deeds that you did. However you worshipped Allah, that's how you're going to be dealt with. So do whatever you want to do. Indeed you are going to be, yani, reward, paid, yani, with what you have done, according to what you have done. And then he says, I close from this commentary here. He said, وَلِلَّهِ siratan. Allah has two sirat. Ma'nawi fi dunya, yani one that is not a physical sirat in this world, that is traveling upon the deen of Islam. وَالصِرَاط الْمُسْتَقِيمِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And the straight path in the next life, yani the sirat, being able to travel on the sirat, whoever traveled the first one and remained firm upon it, Allah will make it easy for him, yani, to travel on the second one on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then, yani, Shaykh Ibn Rajab, he says in the end of his risala concerning this hadith, and this is what the Shaykh is quoting, he says, مَنْ كَانَ فِي الدُّنْيَا قَدْ خَرَجَ عَنَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. So whoever in this world went off al-istiqama, uprightness upon the straight path, and opened the doors of that which is haram, yani under behind the curtains that are on the sirat, going right or going left, and then he entered behind those curtains. Sawan kanat al muharram min ash-shahawat aw min ash-shubuhat. It doesn't matter if those prohibited things are from the shahawat, desires to use alcohol, to gamble, illegal sexual relations, whatever, whether it's from desires or shubuhat, or the shubuhat, the doubtful matters that people fell into. Instead of holding fast to the Quran and Sunnah, and the scholars of the people of Sunnah, they got tripped up by some doubtful matters. Oh, the Prophet ﷺ, he had 12 wives. Yani the Quran says 2 and 3 and 4. That means how many? Did we have anybody saying that? Imam, he knows about it. Right here in Brooklyn. Said you could have how many wives? 9 wives. Quran says so. Shubuhat. Oh, if I don't buy this house, I'm going to be renting for 30 years and pay $100,000 to the other guy who owns it, and he's just buying it from the bank. He's just paying installments. I might as well buy it myself and pay the mortgage on it. Then at least at the end of the 30 years, I own the house. That's what shubha. In the end, you own the house, and you go to hellfire. In the end, you don't own the house. You're just paying rent. Somebody else owns it. but you stand before Allah clean. These are shubuhat. It doesn't matter if it's from shahawat, following your desires, or shubuhat, following the doubts that have been made clear. And yet, I don't know about that. It seems to me like I heard somebody saying on the internet or somewhere. He said, it doesn't matter if you have opened those doors and entered upon these things, whether from the shahawat or shubuhat, أَخَذَتُ الْكَلَالِيبِ. He will be grabbed by the claws, the hooks, which are on that path, on the right and the left, meaning the sirat on yawm al-qiyamah. He will be clawed, he will be hooked by them. بِحَسَبْ مَا فُتِحَ أَوْ فَتَحَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ الْمُحَارِمُ وَدَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا. Yani in accordance with how much in the world he used to open those doors and enter upon them and engage in that which is sinful. Ibn Rajab goes on to say after this, which makes it clear that the meaning of the sirat here, that the claws would grab you from, means in the next life, he said some of them, the people would be yani thrown into the hellfire, and some of them would just be scratched or cut by it, and then they might still be saved. He said, and he said, some of the Salaf, or one of the Salaf, and he was a young man, in his sleep, he saw in his sleep a vision of the people being gathered for resurrection, and then there was a nahr, a river, and it was a river of the flames of fire, and there was upon it a bridge, and the people were crossing it, and every person was called by their names. So when a person was called, they had to respond, and some of them were saved, and some of them were destroyed. He said, my name was called, and I entered that bridge, and it was sharp as a sword. And as the Prophet ﷺ described it in the hadith, thin as a hair and sharp as a sword, and so on. He said, I was going upon it, and right and left, and he said, that man who had that vision in his sleep, he woke up and his head and his beard turned grey from what he saw. This is what Ibn Rajab says at the end of this hadith, at the end of his explanation of this hadith. This is what the Shaykh mentioned from Ibn Rajab here, yani concerning the sirat, yani the relation between the sirat al-mustaqim, following the path in this parable of Islam, and sticking within the boundaries and not going to the one side or the other, where the walls are stopping you from transgressing the limits, and not opening those curtains and entering any of those doors. He said there's a relationship between this sirat, sticking to it, and the sirat, yani yawm al-qiyamah, this over the hellfire, that will be difficult, except for whoever Allah makes it easy for, because in this world they used to do something. After this he said, وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يعني وَمِنْهُ يعني the meaning of it, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ وَمِنْهُ يعني from those ways, those doorways that you're not supposed to enter. وَمِنْهُ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى كُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَذُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. And he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in 24th surah, 30th ayat, ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believers that they must lower their gaze. يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. And there's some discussion concerning this particular word. In other words, yani the meaning of it is not absolute, but lower your gaze, yani with whatever exceptions there are. مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. وَيَحْفَذُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And guard and protect and preserve your private parts in every kind of way that's possible, from that which is going all the way or part of the way, or that which leads to it or invites to it or in any way related to it. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. This is greater in tazkiyah for you. That you what? Lower your gaze. Don't look at what you're not supposed to be looking at. And you guard your private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. This is a greater means of tazkiyah, of purification for them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Indeed, Allah is fully aware of what they are doing. Yani in the end of this ayat, Allah has given us this advice, and then He's telling us that He knows everything that we're doing. Yani Allah is watching us. Yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has some tafsir concerning this, but the time is already a little bit late. So please go back and read the tafsir. By the way, the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di is translated in 10 volumes. It's probably a few hundred dollars, but if you have it, I would advise you to buy it. This is a treasure. This tafsir is the most moving tafsir that I have ever read, without discussion, no comparison. Yani, it is practical, inspiring, motivating. It addresses you personally. Now, that doesn't mean that the classic is not Tafsir of Ibn Kathir. It remains. There's no way to remove it from its place. I'm talking about something different. I'm talking about you want to read something that's easy to follow without yani, the academic discussions and without yani, a lot of narrations. You just want to get right to the point because maybe you're not a scholar. You're not a student of knowledge. You just want to get to the point. That's where it's at. Anyway, the Shaykh, he gave a nice tafsir concerning this ayat. We're going to just read what the Shaykh mentions here for the sake of time. He says, after mentioning this ayat, say to the believers, lower your gaze, يَعْنِ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, and protect your private parts, guard them. This is a greater means of purification for them. Indeed, Allah is well aware of all that they are doing. قَالَ أَبُو حَيَّانَ الْأَنْدَلُسِي. Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi, he was a great scholar, yani in Islam, great scholar of tafsir. He was born in the year 654, died in the year 745. Yani he was almost 90 years old when he died. And what he is famous for is his book Al-Bahr al-Muhit, which is considered to be the marji'a, yani the book that you go back to in terms of yani qira'at, the readings of the Quran, i'rab, the grammatical explanation of the Quran, and so on. Yani it is considered to be the marji'a. If anybody wants to know about this qira'at, they want to know about i'rab of the Quran, this is one of the most important books that there is in tafsir of the Quran. Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi. Al-Andalusi means he was from where?
Spain.
Spain. Naam. He wasn't an Arab. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. That's why don't be overwhelmed by Arabic language. I can't learn this language too much. Any people all over the world in the past, they learned Arabic. They were not Arabs. Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he wasn't an Arab. Muslim wasn't an Arab. All these people, almost none of them were Arabs. Huh? Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah. He wasn't an Arab. He wasn't an Arab.
Tabari, right?
Tabari. Yani so many scholars. Abu Hayyan al-Andalusi, rahimahullah. He says concerning this ayat, قُدِّمَ غَدُّ الْبَصَرْ عَلَى حِفْظَ الْفَرْجِ لِأَنَّ النَّظْرْ بَرِيدُ الزِّنَا وَرَائِدُ الْفُجُورِ وَالْبَلْوَى فِيهِ أَشَدُّ وَأَكْثَرْ. Yani one small paragraph, look what he said. قُدِّمَ غَدُّ الْبَصَرْ عَلَى حِفْظَ الْفَرْجِ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned lowering the gaze before he mentioned guarding your private parts. And he mentioned, yani this is more important to lower your gaze than to not engage in illegal sexual relations? Yani just lowering your gaze? Allah gave precedence to the mention of lowering the gaze over telling the people don't commit illegal sexual relations. That's how Allah mentioned in the Quran. He said, because another, because the looking is barid al-zina, is the messenger or the forerunner of fornication. Yani first comes the look and the invitation, eye contact, what you think, maybe, huh? Response comes back, huh? Another barid al-zina, wa ra'idu al-fujur. Ra'id, yani the ra'id is the scout, the one who goes out ahead. Check the place out. One who goes ahead of the army before the action comes to make sure what's the setup here. It is the ra'id, the leader, the one who's out front of all kinds of filth, immorality and wickedness. The sight. وَالْبَلْوَى فِيهِ أَشَدُّ وَأَكْثَرُ. And the ibtila, the balwa, the trial, the tribulations, yani that come, the misfortunes that come as a result of looking is ashaddu, is more severe, wa akthar, and more than what comes from not guarding the private parts, from looking. That's what Al-Imam Abu Hayyan Al-Andalusi rahimahullah said. Why the Shaykh quote this? To make us to understand the importance of this looking, the danger of this looking. Subhanallah. Then he said, وَقَالَ Shaykh Al-Sa'adi, yani concerning the same ayat, what he says in his tafsir, that indeed the one who, yani inna man hafidha farjahu wa basaruhu, man, yani is shart, right? So now we look for the jawab al-shart. This is the shart, this is the condition, what's going to be the response? Let me just say here that there's some words missing from the translation that doesn't give us the meaning at all of what is said here. Just a couple of words missed and it changed the whole meaning. So pay attention, okay? Pay attention. This is what the Shaykh said. إِنَّ مَنْ حَفِظَ فَرْجَهُ وَبَصَرَهُ. Whoever guards his private parts and his sight. That's the shart, the condition. Whoever does this, then what? طَهُرَ مِنَ الْخَبَثِ الَّذِي يَتَدَنَّسُ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْفَوَاهِشِ. Whoever does this, then he will be purified. طَهُرَ مِنَ الْخَبَثِ. From the filth which pollutes the Ahl al-Fawahish, the people who engage in immorality and lewd behavior, filth and corruption. Whoever guards the private parts and the looking, that person will be purified from the filth which pollutes the people who engage in immorality and lewdness. وَزَكَتْ أَعْمَالُهُ. And also, his deeds will be increased, will grow. Two things. Whoever lowers their gaze and guards their private parts, two things. Number one, they themselves, they will be purified from sin and corruption and whatever that looking and stuff leads to. And their deeds will also be increased. Zakat amaluhu. Why their deeds will be increased? Because once the person restrains from that which is haram, then Allah enables them, makes it easy for them to do that which is good. Huh? بسبب ترك المحرم. Yani, why they will get these benefits, purification of their self and the increase of their good deeds? Due to their abandoning the muharram, the things that Allah has prohibited. Those things which the nafs is desirous of. And those things that the nafs calls you to do. Yani, the one who leave those things, then they will get these two benefits. And then the shaykh, he says, وَمَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. And he doesn't quote this as a hadith, although it is narrated as a hadith. And I remember Shaykh bin Baz in the Fatwa al-Mar'a years ago, I remember reading it because I was like trying to find it. I couldn't find the hadith anywhere. The Shaykh said, Ruwiya, Ruwiya. And in studies of hadith, if anybody knows, Ruwiya means what? Not Rawa, Ruwiya. Mabni lil-Majhool, huh? Yeah, literally it means been recorded, but it has a meaning in Mustalah Hadith. Tamreed. Sigat Tamreed means that its narration is not confirmed. Yani, he's saying that to cover. Yani, that it's not an authentic Hadith. Okay? So he said here, Yani, he mentioned that narration, but what I'll say is, but Sheikh bin Baz said, but its meaning is correct. But the meaning is correct. Even though the narration has weakness, but the meaning of it is correct. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ أَوَّذَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. That whoever abandons something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it for him with that which is better than that which he gave up. You give up looking at that which is haram, Allah will give you something that's better than that. He will increase your good deeds and multiply your rewards and earn his pleasure. The authentic narration of this hadith, Shaykh al-Albani said that the sanad is sahih, upon the conditions of Imam Muslim, in Al-Da'ifah he mentions it, from the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَضَعَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْهُ. This is sahih. Or at least Hassan. Shaykh said it's sahih, على شرط Muslim. إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَضَعَ شَيْئًا. Indeed, you will never give up anything for the sake of Allah عز وجل, إِلَّا بَدَّلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْهُ. Except that Allah will replace it for you with that which is better for you than that. He will replace it with something that will be better for you than that which you gave up. It is the same meaning. Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Da'ifa, first volume, page 65, number 5. And he said that this narration is sahih. So here the Shaykh, he mentions this, Yani, just in passing, but Yani, it is a narration, and there is an authentic meaning for it. And whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with that which is better for him. And for this reason, وَلِذَا كَانَ مِنْ حُسْنِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. And for this reason, he doesn't mention this as a hadith either, even though it is a hadith that's sahih. The Shaykh just mentions it as the meaning. For this reason, from the goodness of Islam of a person is that person leaves what does not concern him. And this hadith has a long discussion with it. And I'll just mention that Imam As-Sana'ani said, that this hadith is general in abandoning anything that does not concern you, whether it's speech, whether it's looking, whether it's listening, huh? And so on, and other things. Yani, whatever a person does, inwardly and outwardly, this is the prophetic wisdom that is sufficient and complete for whatever we need. And he, from the goodness of a person's Islam, is that you leave that which does not concern you. Speech, yani, looking, listening to what you're not supposed to be listening to, all of that kind of stuff, going where you're not supposed to go, touching what you're not supposed to touch. Yani, from the goodness of a person's Islam is leaving that which does not concern you. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said concerning this hadith, yani, whoever leaves that which does not concern them, whoever engages, busies themselves with that which does not concern them, then their Islam is not very good. Hada, this is something that occurs from many of the people. You find them talking about that which does not concern them. You find them asking somebody about that which does not concern them. You find them entering into the affairs of other people that does not concern them. وَكُلُّ هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى ضَعْفَ الْإِسْلَامِ And all of this is an indication of the weakness of a person's Islam. Engaging yourself in that which does not concern you. The Shaykh, he says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he says, he mentions this saying, from the goodness of a person's Islam is leaving that which does not concern you. Yani, from fudul al-kalam, yani, unnecessary speech. Be careful when we speak, think about it. Is it necessary to be talking? Sometimes we, not excluding anyone, we talk when we shouldn't be talking. We talk about what we shouldn't be talking about. We talk to whom we shouldn't be talking to. We listen to stuff we're not supposed to be listening to. He said here, this statement here, from the goodness of a person of Islam is deemed that which does not concern you, whether it's unnecessary speech or unnecessary another, looking or other than that. Whatever is unnecessary, leave it. Qala Ibn Qayyim says concerning yani this matter, he says, وأكثر المعاصي إنما تولدها من فضول الكلام والنظر وهما أوسع مداخل الشيطان فإن جارحتيهما لا يملان أو لا يملآني, which is probably more correct, ولا يسأماني. يعني it came in our book يملآني, but I think actually the meaning, when I went back to Ibn Qayyim's statement, it's written in there يملآني, and I think that's what the correct meaning, because what came after it, he said, Ibn Qayyim said, most of the sins, what causes it is from excessive, unnecessary kalam and looking, kalam and nazar. Most of it, most sins come from unnecessary, above and beyond, speaking and looking where not necessary. And these two things, speaking and looking, kalam and nazar, they are the most wide, vast madakhil of shaitan, the most vast ways of entry of shaitan to overcome you. فَإِنَّ جَارِحَتَيْهِمَا And again, pay attention to this word here, جَارِحَتَي. جَارِحَ means the organs or the limbs of the body. That's what it actually means, جَارِحَتَيْهِمَا. And it's clear that it means, يعني the limbs that are used for kalam and nazar, because that's what he's talking about here. Okay? I'm saying that because if you read in the English translation, there's some other translation here. That's not the meaning of it. Predators. No, the meaning of it is the limbs, جَارِحَتَيْهِمَا, the limbs of these two, al-kalam wa-nadhar. What are the organs for them? Al-kalam, the tongue, and another, the eyes. These two organs, la yamla'ani, they are never full. They can never be filled up. These are vessels that can't be full. وَلَا يَسْأَمَانِ, nor do they ever become bored or tired from looking and talking. Some people just looking. I remember Imam Ibrahim said there was a brother, he used to just look, go out on the street, he just, what do you call it, Imam? Gazing, scanning, I don't know, something you said. I forgot. Just looking at everything, right? Everything you're not supposed to be looking at. Muslim, Kafir, everything, right? The eye never became tired from looking. The tongue never became tired from talking. It never became tired, never became full, it never satisfied. I'm sorry, I just want to... I know the time is late right now. Allahu musta'an. Ibn Qayyim, I went back and read what he said in Bidayah al-Fawaid. And this book also is translated. I don't know how good the translation is, but it's a tremendous book. I don't know about the translation. Anyway, he said there that These two never became full and they never became tired. بخلاف شهوه البطن. And this also proves that the meaning here, the meaning of it never became full and never became tired, as opposed to the desires of the stomach. For once the stomach is full, then there's no more desire to eat. Unless you're a goldfish. So you die, right? As far as the eye and the tongue, if you leave it, it will never get tired of looking and speaking. It will never become full and never become tired. And for this reason, the Salaf, they used to warn against excessive looking in the same way that they warn from excessive speech. And they used to say, مَا شَيْءٌ أَحْوَجُ إِلَى طُولَ السِّجِّنْ مِنَ اللِّسَانِ. And there's no thing that has greater need to be imprisoned than the tongue. And then he went on to talk about فُضُولَ الطَّعَامِ and how that affects us, excessive eating, وَفُضُولَ الْمُخَالِطَ, mixing with the people too much, and so on. And this is a tremendous presentation that Ibn Qayyim mentions here. Anyway, I just wanted to go back to that just a little bit, and then we're going to close here with what the Shaykh closes with. فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْأَبْدِ. Yani, if we know that this excessive looking and excessive speaking and so on, excessive in whatever it is, that these things are dangerous, the talking and the looking are the most vast madakhil, ways of entry for shaitan. The best, easiest way, the most spacious, widest doors that he could get through is from you talking too much and looking at what you're not supposed to be looking at. And this is tremendous. This is not something to read because you're bored, you don't have anything, you just want to read a book. This is something for us to look at ourselves and apply to our lives. Whoever takes heed to this, they will benefit their life and in this world and the next. These are the greatest ways of shaitan to reach the human being and to destroy us. فَيَنْبَغِي عَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَكُونُ عَاقِلًا كَيِّسًا. So it is incumbent upon the Abd to be intelligent and to be wise. فَيَسْأَلُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الصَّبْرُ وَالنَّجَاتِ, that He grant us patience with what we are dealing with, what we are confronted with, the trials and tribulations. وَالنَّجَاتِ, and that He grant us salvation, that we be saved from punishment. وَأَنْ يَقْطَعَ كُلُّ طُرُقْ الْمُؤَدِّيَةِ لِضِيَاءَ نَفْسِهِ وَفُجُورِهَا. And that we must cut off, we must make an effort, a conscious effort, to cut off all the roads that lead to neglect of your nafs and the corruption of your nafs. فَدِينَ الْعَبْدُ رَاسُ الْمَالِهِ. For indeed, your deen, the deen of the human being, is the greatest thing that you possess. رَاسُ مَالِهِ. That's the capital. Everything else is just extra. This is what really counts. And in neglecting it, there's khasara, loss, in this world and in the next life. In neglecting your deen, the people that neglect their deen, wallahi, you could see it if you pay attention, that they have lost in this world. They just got a lot of money, some home, cars, whatever. But really, if you look at them, and some of the richest people in the world who are not worshipping Allah, you can see that they have nothing. Lost in this world. Forget about that. What's more important is lost in the next life. Whoever neglects their deen, they will be losing in this world and the next life. Especially in this time of ours, in which there has occurred, وَقَعَتْ فِي الْفِتْن. Yani, fitn, trials upon the people. كَوَقَعَ الْمَطَرْ, like the rain that falling on a rainy day. You can't escape from it. You need an umbrella. You need a raincoat, rain boots. That's the practice of Islam. Because the fitn that is surrounding us is like rain falling on a rainy day. Unless a person has protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, and فَتَحَتْ فِيهِ أَبْوَابَ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَالشَّهَوَاتِ. The doors have been opened for shubuhat, doubts, especially from the kuffar and the other people and the deviant people who identify with Islam. The doors have been opened for all kinds of shubuhat. You open up that internet, wallahi, sometimes person you shouldn't open it if you don't know what you're doing. That stuff is deadly. Shubuhat. The people came back with all kinds of doubts and became confused. Some people never recovered from it. The doubt entered their mind, into their heart, and khalas, they destroyed. Washahawat. And the desires, all kind of filth, immorality, corruption. The doors are open wide. With these ajhiza al-haditha, with the new invented devices, like your smartphone. It's real smart. Wallahi, if you don't control it, it will destroy you. Wamawaqiya al-mashbuha, and the websites which are suspect, there's millions of them. Some of them are controlled by the open kuffar. They say that they're Christians or whatever. Some of them pretend to be Muslims. We don't know who they are. Allah, you don't know who it is? Why are you listening to? Where you, who are you taking from? These are doubtful places. With baramij, yani programs, munharifa, deviant programs. And there's no end to them. The deviant programs. Equality between the sexes. Rule by majority. Homosexuality and immorality. Yani all this filth and corruption. Until many of the people have been driven to riwaya, misguidance, and have been turned away from al-hidayah, the right guidance. Nas'al Allah al-afiyah, we ask Allah for any protection, well-being, and He protect us from this harm and this evil. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. بارك الله فيكم.